The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Welcome to the after party, where I had planned to talk about my bathroom cleaning techniques for the majority of this episode, but instead we have, or rather a lot more to talk about than I initially realized.
No, I want to do that. Let's do that instead. So top down, you always go.
Step number one, go to the gym or do a walk or get your outside, get your sweat on.
Yeah.
Come home, you have a little protein-laden snack.
Maybe a hard-boiled egg.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe like a little bit of peanut butter on a multigrain cracker, whatever.
Yeah.
You get your cleaning supplies together. You put on your jams. You open a window for proper ventilation because fumes are bad for you.
As many windows as possible.
Yeah. Put on that fan. Get that cross breeze.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Most bathrooms don't have windows, though. Like
outside of New York City, most bathrooms have either windows or a ventilation fan.
I feel like the bathroom in my house was always like the tornado warning place.
Oh, no.
And my current bathroom does not have any windows either.
Point being, you get those endorphins, you get those jams, you boogie down, you clean your bathroom, and then take a nice shower. And, oh, wait, not only is your house clean, you're clean.
Yo.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anyone can be truly clean after cleaning a frat bathroom.
Yeah, as much as I don't want to play into the frat houses are gross stereotype, I love that these guys are really intellectual and lovely and supportive of each other, but centaurs, man, I get it now.
I want to say that this is another labor from Ev, and this is just like, I left out a bunch of exposition that there is just wild in here. This was so incredibly detailed, and I'm so happy that I got to bring the horse house to life. I also want to say that he came up with horse even before horse launch, so this was not me, I promise.
Okay.
Hey, Eric, can you tell me how centaurs shower?
I can't tell you.
Now we can.
Because I will tell you, that's not in the episode.
I know, but it is now in, we need to release these, I think, as modules. I think we're going to do that eventually. So keep an eye out. You can read all this stuff and come up with your own world building, but this is some pretty wild stuff. I'm happy about it.
Tell me how they shower.
Tell me how they shower.
Oh, okay. I sure do.
So it turns out that you might have wondered that why the showers were not in the bathroom in the basement. Turns out that the showers are in the backyard, which is a walled-in stone space with several shower heads and a drain in the floor. Indoor showers don't really work for centaurs, and they tend to shower in groups since colthood because they can't reach most of their horse bodies by themselves.
And I guess they don't have like multiple shower head glass enclosed like rainfall
showers? Not in a frat house, you don't.
Definitely
not. That's true.
In centaur culture, group showering ends once you're married and have a partner to shower with, though men and women separately will get together and group shower for special occasions. What? It's like public baths sort of thing. I
want
like
to know
that.
So much about which special occasions merit a group shower. Is it like a bridal
4th?
Party? Is it like July 4th? Is it like
a bar mitzvah?
Like
bar
what
mitzvahs.
Is it?
Oh, God. Yeah. So Ev put a lot of fun Easter eggs about like centaur culture in this one, which I wasn't really able to explore. There's also stuff about horse, which I wasn't able to say. Do you want to know where they went on spring break?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cancun.
I'm not happy.
I'm so happy. That was so good.
It's so beautiful.
It's extremely good. So that's some of the other stuff here. Thank you to the patrons whose names that I used. I think it was Doug McHugh, Joe. Van Jor is one that we came up with. And Onion was a...
Onion was something you made up in your brain?
Yeah, Onion was something that Ev came up with. His nickname was Onion. Oh my God. So yeah, Joe...
Is it because he was so stinky, or as Amanda said, many layers?
He has many layers. Yeah, so thank you to Doug McHugh and Joe for lending your names.
And for all two listeners that have not watched RuPaul's Drag Race, this past season on Drag Race 10, there was a contestant who, when they eliminate somebody, they just like walk back up off the runway and then typically pause at the top of the runway to give a little wave or to, you know, whatever, give a fun kind of final pose. But the first person this season, as she walked back up the runway, her name was Miss Vanjie. And she went, Vanjie. Miss Vanjie.
Holy shit.
Like, hauntingly as she
Holy
left.
Shit.
Like that.
Did she murder everyone afterwards?
No, she just left. She's apparently a lovely person, but it was instantly
mimetic.
Like, people instantly made into a meme. And then for the rest of the season, occasionally another judge would lean over and whisper in RuPaul's ear, Vanjie, and she would cry off her makeup and need to stop filming.
Oh, it was so funny.
It's excellent.
Oh my God. So, I'm going to do that next time I leave a job.
Do it. I'm going to do that as soon as I leave my current job. I'm going to walk out and just be like, Vanjie.
Why would you not say Eric?
Vanjie. No, still Vanjie.
Silver.
And considering that Eric, Ev, and I have a RuPaul Drag Race group watch live text thread, it made me very happy that made it in.
That's hilarious. Good. I love it.
God, I love this module. Do you guys want to hear the other stuff that could have happened to you in the bathroom?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes,
that table is very good.
Okay, so is a basilisk one of them or all of them?
It's actually all of them with basilisk.
Good.
And at what point do the centaurs carry away?
What if the shadow is the true basilisk? Nice, Miss Norris's corpse.
No, it was, what's the name of the bad person in the fifth book?
Ludo Bagman.
No.
All right, Shubes. No, the bad lady from the ministry that comes
Umbridge.
In. Umbridge.
Oh, Umbridge, yeah.
I take Umbridge.
Okay, so if I had rolled a 1, nothing happens.
Nice.
Which I did not roll. If I rolled a 2, you guys would have lost your footing and had to roll dexterity saves. And then if you failed, you would have fallen into a pile of poo.
Oh my God, I would have died.
No,
you would have been afflicted with filthiness. So while filthy, you get disadvantage while cleaning, and then it could have been cured by prestidigitation or by Tracy's sudsy gun.
This is so sweet. Gun. I love this idea so
this
much.
It's such a good idea.
I love it.
Okay, so for 4, what happened, Inara had to cut herself out of her hazmat suit, but since it was the end of the fight, we wanted to do something different, but if you vomited, you would have vomited back into the bathroom, and then the bathroom would have regained dirtiness health.
Oh.
So I would have rolled 1d6 and gotten that back. If I roll 5, just being in the room is debilitating to the soul, and you have to roll charisma saving throws, and you get 1d6 damage.
Snap out of it, man.
Slap.
This is such a good metaphor for like depression and self-care. You know, the difficulty of it, but also the necessity of it.
Mm-hmm. 2 and 3?
2, I just read. 3 was existential dread. 4, you did. And then 6 was the constitution saving throws.
Got it.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, if there were other people in the room, it could have went a little bit differently. But Tracy scared off Onion, and McHugh and Joe just did not care.
I did think about blowing my help horn to see if I could get any cleaning helpers, but I didn't think it would have worked.
No, that would not have helped, believe me.
Excellent. I have a question. Is that help horn actually an item with any magical properties, or is it just a horn?
Well,
I'm asking Eric, not Brandt.
I did create a bunch of birds, so it does happen live show.
Oh, right.
No, it's supposed to like gather your forces near you, but it's only if you can hear it. Like it's just a horn.
Okay.
But it's a very loud horn.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That Brandon loves to use at all times.
Yeah.
Hey, Inara used a patch on her cloak.
Oh my God.
Finally. God, this is from arc 1.
It is. I really wanted to save it for a situation where I thought we needed it. I almost did the door patch when we were in the cave trying to get toward the bone whale.
Yeah.
But ended up not needing it. I didn't know what was going to happen, but it was bad enough that I was ready to do it. And I thought it was very fun.
No,
it was a good call.
Speaking of that, of badness, what was the elemental thing we were fighting?
So this is actually a reskinned version of a new elemental in Tome of Foes. This was the air elemental Myrmidon. So this is like when magicians conjure elementals to inhabit suits of armor. and like they exist in it, and it's like a stronger version of the elementals from the regular monster manual. So I reflavored it as shadow and gave it susceptibility to radiant damage, but it has some pretty dope stats. I mean, it has a flail, and there's like an extra sort of like strike, like a paladin's
Morning
divine smite. So you got a bunch of extra shadow damage, but then I tried to recharge it. I couldn't recharge it.
Gotcha.
So you just kind of got fucked up there in the beginning.
Well, I studied myself from it.
Yeah, you fought off the frightenedness, which was good, but like you really...
And then I frightened myself.
And then you decided to be claustrophobic. And then Tracy's claustrophobic.
This is canon. Tracy is now claustrophobic.
There you go.
Listen, it's real. It robbed your ability to act, and I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I do like that you were able to... you were still able to run away, which I was able to.
Only with Inara's confidence in me.
Yeah. God, fucking Vanjor, though, coming up with that... picking the number.
That's two nat 20s in a row for our intrepid DM.
In a row. I've never rolled that well ever in my entire life.
You know, we see lots of examples of our good rolls messing up your intentions for us. It was fun to see your own rolls messing up your intentions for yourself.
Yeah, that was on me. It was absolutely my fault.
And just poor Brandon with his rolling. I don't know, man.
I love the sawbone. This is like classic. I put this in your hands to see what would happen.
It's very good. I bought two new sets of dice, and I have one set that I was given at the live show. Thank you, Sarah. And hate to say it, still roll badly. I think it's a problem I have. Is there like a dice doctor I can go to?
I mean,
I wouldn't ask Fish, because he is apparently a purveyor of darkness.
yeah, Mr. Darkness,
well,
what were you
okay,
thinking?
First on the dice thing, you are not treating your dice right, just letting them lay on whatever number and just not caring about them. You're causing your own bad rolls. That's you.
Judgy.
Very judgy. And then the whole idea in my head is that Johnny is like really tired of just doing the one thing, and for a while he's been playing around with the shadow a bit, and believing a little more in the fact that there needs to be a balance. Just because there needs to be a balance doesn't mean it's okay that right now it seems like there's more shadow in the world than light, so clearly light needs to be spread. But, you know, a cool tool for when times where you need to, like, dim the room a little bit would be nice, you know? Like a nice little lamp that was acted as a dimmer.
Let me read you the prophecy.
Harbinger of darkness. Here's the thing. Johnny
Bring
has
a new era of night.
Here's the thing. Johnny has in his lantern and basically in his interactions a like the Undying Light is not like the most friendly, happy person. It's you know, Johnny interprets it that way, but there has to be a balance between the light and dark, because the dark is manipulative, but the light is manipulative in the way that all gods are when they're like the good god, where they do nothing and just like hang out. Until, like, you're like, hey, do something. There's bad stuff happening. And they're just like, nah. Hence why Johnny has to do stuff. And meanwhile, the shadow is like, ooh, let's do things. But the good news, at least for me, I think I got something good out of it. Shadow's outside of the lantern now, so I'm hopefully no longer going to have to roll to see if I mess up.
Eric is not speaking and slowly shaking
his head.
We'll see, bud. We'll see.
I was honestly just hoping that I would be able to get a second lantern and I would have two lanterns.
So double fist lanterns.
One that just kind of like I...
Like pounding those artificial darknesses.
Like those artificial those darknesses.
Arty darks.
Very funny that is the name I fully made up.
I thought it was... Isn't that a spell, artificial darkness?
It's just darkness.
Okay. I thought it was like a spell. And I was like, oh, I mean, that's a funny spell. Oh, wait.
Natural light. Natural light, natty light. So artificial darkness.
Arty dark.
Arty dark.
Arty dark's a pretty good name for a frappo.
And just in general.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to leave that candle alone. I was going to do something. We were talking and it was like, maybe take the candle. But I'm like, they'll activate the door to close probably. Let's light it, see what happens.
I don't think Tracy's going to be thrilled with the fact that you almost brought in a new era of darkness.
I don't think that would have...
No, but we read the prophecy.
I'm going to read it again. The retainer of the destroyer of stars.
Capital R retainer.
So that would be the retainer being Alonzo because he's destroying stars and we're retained to him. Go on.
The one foretold to come.
I don't know, maybe the book of things to come.
Something in there.
The reader of all tongues.
Johnny.
I can read.
The bearer of the cursed lamp.
Johnny. I have a lamp that's cursed.
The wielder of light and darkness.
Johnny.
Triumphant over the aged trials.
I guess because we did those trials just now.
The labors.
This gift shall be yours.
Now there's no gift. which is rude. Honestly, it's very rude.
To aid the harbinger of darkness.
So to help someone, the gift to is to help,
be able, the gift is to be able to aid the harbinger of darkness to
bring a new era of night.
And honestly, that's kind of what we're doing. You see, Alonzo is turning off these stars, which means darkness. And I don't see anything wrong with like messing around with this. I wasn't going to leave it alone.
Oh, as a player, I'm glad that you did it. But I mean, you could have. But as a Tracy,
no,
I think
absolutely not. Johnny was not going to leave it alone. This has like clues to his whole religion thing. He's going to mess with it.
Well, now you don't have it, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate.
I think we'll see you next time.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's snuffed out, and with it, hopefully, the shadow that pisses me off.
Who's to say? Who can say?
Look, you sound like Zael every time you say that.
Who can say? Who knows? Who can say? Well, yeah, I'm glad we have another prophecy, moving it a little bit forward, and everyone out there and everyone in here, you guys can just think about what could happen next.
Well, I guess we will see what is to come on this front, but now let's go to some listener questions.
This is a really interesting one. I hadn't thought about this in a really long time. This one's from Aaron. I've got an oddly specific question. What made you guys decide on a D8 as part of your logo? Was it the most aesthetically pleasing polyhedron for you, or is there more to it than that?
Great question, Aaron. So our very, very talented designer, Allison Wakeman.
Art Mom.
What up?
Multitude Art Mom. She's on Twitter at Allison Kate. She is outstanding, and her credits are in every episode if you want to go look her up. But she came up with lots of different options for our logo. One of them was more traditional, like overhead shot of a table with like cards and dice and people's hands, and definitely the sort of like friends sitting around a table version.
You might say it's friends at a table.
Oh damn, oh that was taken. Oh guys, you should oh my god, we spent so many hours trying to think of a name for this podcast.
Oh,
every D&D pun has been taken, every single one, and it was creative producer Connor McLaughlin who ended up coming up with the phrase join the party, which I love. But Allison, her initial version of this logo had a different dice. It was like
it's a
D12 or a D20. Yeah. And I wanted it to be like an Easter egg for people who know what a D8 looks like so that they can look at the thing and be like, oh my God, wait, is that, oh my God, D&D. But not something that people who aren't already RPG nerds, you know, would look at and be like, nah, that's kind of not for me. Our whole thing is inviting new people into the show. So it kind of looks like an atom. It kind of looks like a universe. You know, it's like an interesting and pleasing shape. But if you're in the know, you know what's there.
Yeah, we had a lot of just creative discussions around every little point in the very beginning of this pre-production because we wanted to find that balance between welcoming longtime D&Ders, not excluding them, but also a lot of the scariness of new people for D&D comes in the fact that you don't know the glossary, you don't know the vocabulary, you don't know the imagery, the inside jokes kind of thing. So we wanted to make sure that we weren't perpetual, like the stereotype stuff.
Yeah, those two cues when you're looking at the art of the podcast, the first is a picture of a D20, and the other one is a pun using the phrase Dungeons and Dragons or critical.
Right.
So we wanted to try to move away from both of those things while still referencing it. I mean, party is something a little bit to the side, and the D8 is a little bit to the side.
And I think it also matches our aesthetic. Like, we are story first podcast. Like, if it didn't have this specific rule system, it would still function almost perfectly as well. It's a nod to D&D. That's what we do. We sort of nod to D&D, but we do our own thing. We straddle a lot of different genre lines and sort of follows our personal aesthetic.
I mean, that's how we describe the show, is an audio drama told through the rules of Dungeons and Dragons. So that's why I like that the dice are like orbiting something bigger in our logo. And I like that it's pink. I like that our colors are not traditionally masculine and they're not traditionally the Wizards of the Coast black and red. Mm-hmm. Allison heard us talk about all this stuff and she transformed it into some really compelling choices. We should go back and look at the old ones. We were all really torn. We really didn't know which one to
decide. They're still in there. I go in there occasionally.
Oh, yeah. I hung them up at my desk at work and just looked at them for like 2 weeks before we decided
that's
on the
one. That's what we did too.
Yeah. Oh. Adorable. Eric,
I also like
to work together. Sweet.
My favorite thing about the logo has always been the background texture.
Oh yeah.
It sort of has
yes.
It has a texture to it almost that's like distressed, vintage, destroyed, and it sort of gives us a little bit of darkness to the logo that I always find appealing. Of like, join the party, bright, vibrant. We're gonna have this fun game, but there's also little bit something behind it.
And it's like destroyed text too.
I've always tried reading it because there's some versions of like the banner that you can get into and kind of look zoom in and try to read it. I still have no idea what it says.
I think our transcriber, Nicole, texted me the letters the other day and was trying to figure out what the anagram was. It was good. Thanks, Allison.
Art Mom, we couldn't do it without you.
Literally.
Art Mom, can I stay up till 10?
Art Mom would say yes.
Art Mom, can I have Gushers?
No.
My mom wouldn't let me have Gushers.
Mine either. Gushers kind of look like dice.
They do.
Oh, crunch.
If you put a dice between two Gushers, it's a crunch sandwich.
Ooh.
Ugh. That's dangerous. That's so scary. You guys want to hear another question?
Yes.
This one is from Sally. Hi, Sally. You're great on Twitter and on our Discord.
Hi, Sally.
Hi.
Question for the whole gang. What are your top three ability scores and what are their values? Do you have any dump stats?
I have an idea to twist this around.
Yes.
We have to score the other people.
Okay. I think Fish, high charisma. Walk high into charisma. A party. Oh, wait. Where's Fish? Oh, in the middle talking to everybody. It's great.
He's on a stage? Where did he get a spotlight?
Wait.
Why is there a banjo?
Why is there a microphone?
Yeah. A microphone came down from the ceiling. It's like an old boxing announcer.
How did he get such a big poof in his hair?
Rips his shirt off. There's a tux underneath. Whoa!
But it's not showing enough chest hair.
And then he rips his tux off.
And then he rips the towel
yes,
on.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amanda has very high wisdom, intelligence.
And I agree with high survival. There is no one more prepared than Amanda in any situation.
Yeah, I feel like she's just always...
I have a phone charger. You need one?
You have a bag of holding. You have a real bag of holding.
I do.
You have a backpack that is not... that should not carry nearly as much as it does.
I'm good at packing. Like Hufflepuffs are good at finding... Gryffindors are good at packing.
That's the correct answer.
I think Brandon has high insight. You're a very good listener and a good asker of questions. And when I have a quandary, you're one of the people I go to.
You always know when I'm lying.
The trick is you're always lying.
Yeah, I'm always lying. That's why.
And I would give you high intelligence as well.
Oh, thank you.
Actually, maybe it would be profession.
You can say arcana.
Is audio editing arcana?
I think so.
I think it must be.
Audio mixing is the seventh magic type.
Well, you don't go to school for it. You just, it's like a ritual.
You channel it.
You're an audio sorcerer, yes. Yeah. That's you and Misha are both audio sorcerers.
We had to give up a little piece of our soul, but
well,
it's worth
so
it.
Then you're a warlock. Yeah. Demonic. Yeah, I got you.
It's fine.
I think Eric's high persuasion also. No one can get a person excited about a thing like Eric can.
Hey, this one comes from Katie, who is our Discord mod. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Hi. Hello.
I've got a heckin' after party question for y'all. Is there any way we could bribe you all to do a couple bonus eps where Amanda and Brandon and Fish take turns as the DM? Eric, I love you forever, but I think these could be very fun bonuses, and I would love to hear you in any player capacity. Yeah, guys.
Here's where I'm scared.
Yeah, guys.
Tell me.
I've now played with Eric as a player character many times.
Oh, come on. I can't believe you actually believe this.
His characters are...
extremely good.
Bold.
Extremely good and good for role-playing.
Divisive. I think divisive is a good word.
You were just referencing Video James.
Not even Video James. They are hard to wrangle, is what I'll say.
You're a cool ranch Doritos Locos Tacos. You're a bold flavor, and you have a crunch that just can't be missed.
I think it's wild how you two are saying this to me.
The only reason I say it is because I'm scared as a DM, not because they're bad.
I'm not scared. Bring it on. As a DM, you are the master of the universe, and I'm ready for that kind of responsibility and power. Sounds like a great Patreon goal. I don't know. Maybe if we hit our current one, that could be in the cards.
Maybe.
There are some holidays coming up. We could definitely do that.
Yeah.
I would love to be a player character. Please, let's do this.
I want to see Amanda DM.
I want to see Amanda DM very badly.
I do too. All right, y'all. Before we go on to the next trial,
The
final trial.
The final labor.
It's the labyrinth, right?
The labyrinth of Dawnrise.
Ah. Let's do a check-in. Where are we? Where's your health? Where's your spell slots?
Where are you, my friend?
I am at 19 hit points.
Oops. He had 18 before, but now he's up one.
What's your max?
81.
There you go. You want to give the out of so that you feel the oomph. Because 19 ain't bad, really.
Yes, it is. It's terrible.
No, it's not.
So I do have rage, which effectively doubles it if I need to. And I also have a health potion that can give me 10 hit points back. And I have a sawbone, which I can use once per day or once per encounter, whatever it is.
Yeah, once per encounter.
So I'm going to heal myself up before we go. But yeah, I'm a little worried. I have no spell slots.
Yikes. I am only down a little bit. I have 45 out of 56 health points.
Oh, good. I'll put you in front of me.
Yeah, but I also have a 10 HP health potion that I'm happy to give to you if need be. If it works. I hope it works.
Oh, yeah. What if it's a trick potion?
No, it's a real potion.
These are just
werewolves.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, I turn into a werewolf raccoon.
I have a lot of artificial darkness beer.
And how many hit points, bud?
Oh, sorry. I'm at 24 out of 70.
Ooh.
Okay.
Getting closer to that searing vengeance time. And then spell slots, I used one of my level ones, which leaves me with 3. I still have a level 2 and a level 3.
Cool.
Which is the level 3, I can only do daylight anyway.
How's Derek?
Derek's doing good. He has level 12 spells. Weird. So weird. And he's looking fine. Infinity HP.
Wow.
He's really OP.
I really hate Derek.
Yeah, Derek really works hard to make us not like him.
Yeah. Derek's in my own, he's in my other game, my other podcast. It's called
My Other D&D Podcast.
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's called My Other D&D Podcast.
Well, looks like I'm the worst off here. I think Tracy's going to be not leading the charge anymore.
We'll see figure what it out.
Just axe yourself.
I think this after party is over.
I think we should axe ourselves if this after party
is over. Fish, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
I don't know why you're axing me to leave.
Thank you for joining us for another after party. If you want the chance to have your name be featured as, I don't know, a centaur bro, or maybe a, you know, suit of armor that is deconstructed but then is illuminated by forces of light and or darkness, you can do that. You can join us as a supporter on Patreon.
Oh, whoa, really? I'm not going to do that right now. Hang on.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. And, like, I don't know why else your name would be included in the podcast at all, but, like, this is the way that you can get a chance to enter our NPC lottery and have your name featured as an NPC. There's also NPC backstories that Eric writes for every dang episode. Whenever we play, I sort of, in the back of my mind, think, like, ooh, Ben, I wonder whose story we're going to hear. So it is a really lovely benefit, as well as, of course, membership to our Discord. So if you are a patron already, consider upgrading for even more perks, including getting our episodes a whole day or more early. You get to discuss it in a special spoiler party legend channel. And of course, there's a chance to get physical stuff from us in the mail. We love selecting these things for our VIP level patrons, and it is super, super fun to do. That is all at patreon.com/jointhepartypod.
Dang, our Patreon sounds so good. I want to support my favorite creators.
Listen, yeah. Straight up, we've been doing this for more than a year. This is our, what, 5th story arc? 6th? And it is so fun. It's also so much work. And your support is what allows us to keep going, to keep being excited, to keep leveling up the show, doing new merch, doing live shows, doing all kinds of extras. And we really, truly appreciate as much or as little as you can give, $1 an episode. Or if that's not possible for you, it's also super helpful to recommend the show to your friends. We are at Join the Party Pod on Twitter and Instagram. So you can tag us recommending to a friend or just text them and be like, hey, look, this is an awesome podcast. We have recaps available for previous episodes. They don't want to listen to the whole thing, though. I don't know why people wouldn't. But that's at jointhepartypod.com/recap. That's a great URL to pass along to people who are about to start the show. I think that is about all for now. Say bye, boys.
Bye.
See you later.
Undying Shadow be with you.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's different now. Whoa.